which of course is the definition of acting in many ways, the emotion in motion.
Natalie Tuck. She's a dancer, a Meryl Streep aficionado, entertainment correspondent, and from Yorkshire. What's not to love?
I don't know, sir. I really don't. And it's her birthday as well. What do we say, Katie?
Happy birthday.
What do we say, Ed?
To you.
Yes, happy birthday to you. Natalie Tuck, one of the greats when it comes to midweek drivettes and the history of midweek drivette scenarios. Very good.
Thank you.
Liz Brewer yesterday was saying, well, where is Natalie? I said, she's in France, Liz. Never mind. You know, connect you in for too long. So, how has the birthday been? Are your flatmates looking after you? And what's life like now in the Loire Valley?
Yeah, my birthday's been great. Actually, today I discovered a little English-only speaking cafe. Ooh. And I went with one of my friends and I had a hot chocolate and a scone with jam and cream.
A hot chocolate and a scone.
Yeah.
Yes. I would have said scone, but never mind.
Me too.
I said scone.
You see? Well, yeah. Exactly.
So they're still wrong. They are wrong. You're wrong. They are, you see.
Oh, no.
It's, you know, scone, scone. Is it, you know, you don't say the scone of scoon in Scotland. Or maybe you do. I don't know. Anyway.
We could go on for hours on scone-scone debate.
But let's not. You know,
let's not.
Exactly. If you've just tuned in, you've missed Cameron Tilbury from Nashville, USA. You've missed Anna Lewis from a park in Jersey. But she'll actually be meeting up with the 12 Americans now. That's a bit of an exciting thing, I think. Yeah. Anna meets 12 Americans from America. Jamie Anderson, of course, with fabulous news about what he's doing with his father's telefantasy legacy and obviously the stuff. It's too late, obviously, now to actually support the making of the book as far as the Kickstarter thing is concerned. But there will be other things happening, of course, as we found out from AndersonEntertainment.com. And, of course, Jerry Anderson's Gemini Force. Michelle Monroe, as you said, probably one of the finest introductions you could wish to go for, really, in many ways. Ed, you know, hello, siren listeners.
It was spot
simple,
on.
Simple, spot really on. Good. We say that regularly. And, of course, Randy Reinholtz has just updated us with what he's doing as far as native voices is concerned. And so we've worked our way through the epic conversation between Nikki Wells, Cameron Tilbury and Toby Hilton, who's actually talking about now a kid's cereal that melts and tears your mouth to shreds. I don't know.
That is hilarious, that conversation.
Yeah, well, it's certainly opened up a whole new area of exploration, which
this is why I miss the midweek drive. I miss being there. Conversations like that.
Yeah, and we miss you too, Natalie Tuck. But, you know, all being well, you will return, because this weekend, actually, Natalie won't be back this weekend unless we are really lucky, but Ed and Katie and myself will be heading off to Yorkshire, Natalie. Going to Yorkshire.
Yeah, no. What are you doing in Yorkshire?
What are we doing in Yorkshire, Ed?
We are countryside living at the Yorkshire Showground, which is, you know,
brilliant.
Almost our second home now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Katie's been given the duties of actually tweeting and doing things from that point of view.
Yep.
And it'll also be Ian Mills's first experience of a location report for the Midweek Drive. Now that Ian, of course, has formally become a student reading the MA in Community Radio at the University of Lincoln.
Is he going to replace
Ed?
And nobody could replace Ed.
No, no one could replace Ed.
He
knows what I mean.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, is he going to... No, you're going to replace Ed, Katie. Anyway, that's... it's a whole new exciting world. So, I mean, how long are you going to be based in the Loire Valley, Natalie? I mean, is it a case of, well, I'm here until très joli, who knows, Noël, and all sorts of things.
I'm going to be here until about mid-December, I think.
So you'll miss William Sitwell's performance that he's going to be providing for us when he's actually bringing along some cider. So if nothing else, the attendees for the LSJ Presents series will at least go out happy.
Yeah.
Whatever. Still, never mind. Ed, any questions you'd like to put to Natalie about what she's been doing in the kitchen on her birthday party day?
Oh, I feel that was fairly heavily prompted. So I'll ask you, what have you been doing in your kitchen on your birthday party day, Natalie?
Well, I've just been kind of watching everybody else do a lot of hard work. They're preparing a mighty feast out there. We have We have one
out
of my
there.
Friends is making, yeah, in the kitchen.
Oh, right.
I'm not in the kitchen right now. Sorry.
I think maybe barbecue or something.
One of my friends is making sushi. Another friend is making a quiche Lorraine. Another friend is making a some onion rings, some homemade onion rings. And another one is making...
So did you say you've got a French friend making homemade onion rings? Isn't that a bit of a stereotypical cliche?
No, my German friend is making onion rings. My French friend is making quiche Lorraine. Yeah, my Indonesian friend is making sushi. It's a...
You see, that's why Natalie is such a crucial part of the team. She is a one-woman United Nations, you know.
Yeah.
Bish-bosh-bash,
fantastic.
Sorted through. And coordinated in perfect ways as well. This is splendid.
So, and I've just had the duty of, like, popping the champagne open, so I'm being looked after very well.
How long does it take to get there from here?
To get to where I am.
To the Lower Valley, yes. I mean, you know. It's a bit dull and dreary in Lincoln. We're thinking the after-show coffee. Maybe we could actually
be quicker rather than trying to find a coffee around here to come and join you.
Yeah, it takes about so it's about 5.5 hours on the train from London. So about 7.5 hours from Lincoln. Yeah.
Okay, well, we could stay for maybe 30 minutes before we'd have to leave to get back
for the breakfast show.
Yeah.
Tell your French onion ring maker.
German onion ring. German French fried onion ring maker.
tell them all just to do a few more in case.
Do you want to give them some name checks? I mean, they could excitedly listen on the sort of podcast thing and stuff, like, you know, if they want to actually hear their names, then you can actually...
Can get them. Hold on.
Oh.
We have in the kitchen, we've got Felix.
Hello, Felix.
We've got Nick.
Hello, Nick.
We've got Megan.
Hello, Megan.
Car.
Ursula.
Ursula. Is Ursula Swedish?
No, she's German.
Yeah.
And Vinny.
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 As in Vincenzo. Yeah. And,
so,
well,
guys, I'm on the radio. Say hello.
And that's what you call one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons we are Lincoln's first community radio station. Don't get that on the Simon Mayo Show, I can tell you. I feel the need to press this button here.
Hi, this is Liz Brewer, the author of The Ultimate Guide to Party Planning and Etiquette, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Saran 107.3 FM and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
I'm Gary.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rippy.
And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
You see, it's just great fun all over, and we must actually hook up again with the Reduced Shakespeare Company people before too long. I won't even talk about Discover Middlesbrough, because you see, I don't really need to Discover that, are you? But it is there, and I will be actually hosting an event together with Jenny Finch and Rob Nichols at the Borough Bookworm, which is a store in Middlesbrough, on Friday. So I'll just mention that. If you fancy a journey up from Lincoln 126 miles, feel free to do so. All very exciting.
You sound very busy, Alex.
Oh, well,
Alex is always busy.
Yeah.
Well, we just keep on going. That's important. Keep on moving. That emotion in motion. Critical stuff. We may just be in time to actually get Phil Dearness onto his usual 6:30 slot. We're 6:30 PM UK time, 10:30 AM, of course, Los Angeles time. If we can squeeze in those last two questions for Natalie on her birthday. Interesting how you share. Just you're that close, you know.
I know.
Cameron Tilbury the day before Natalie's birthday, yourself a week before Natalie's birthday.
Very,
very strange. Somehow wonderful as well. Last two questions, please, for Natalie.
Which one of us?
I think yourself, Katie.
Natalie, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yeah, it's been a great 10 minutes of my birthday.
Aw, and can we look forward to connecting with you again soon?
And Felix,
yes.
Mick, Megan, Ursia and Vinny, of course, we'd like to connect.
Of course.
Well,
<please.
Welcome>. Yeah.
Connecting in the spiritual sense as opposed to the physical aid, I just hasten to add.
Could
you know,
be.
It's...
It could be tricky.
Yeah, exactly. You know, high fives. or the equivalent. Happy birthday, Natalie. Take care. And, well, Ting Ting's okay for a sort of birthday celebration?
Yeah.
She hasn't said anything.
Oh, I thought he was asking.
Not you.
Shh.
grimy. Shush.
It's not all about you, Katie. You know? Absolutely. Have you got anything to say about what you think about Katie? Oh, Lord above. Anyway, yes. Ting Ting's okay with you, Natalie?
Yes. It's great.
Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voiceover artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonis!
Don't switch off the music feed, Phil, because Ed's enjoying the music. Katie, you really enjoying the music?
Don't know.
Well, it's not really a music show, is it? You know,
no.
You want music, go to Groundworks. You know, they do a wonderful disco music show, which is disco music.
Or Rock Train.
Or Rock Train, exactly.
Be
or
a Black Sabbath and stuff.
But if you want bad music, listen to the previous selection.
Huh?
I think so. You know, what was it about Matt Monro doing country that he kind of obviously was, you know, Tears for Fears? Rick Ocasek, Emotion
in
Motion?
No, you know what? I enjoyed being reminded of that Rick Ocasek song because I had forgotten that he had a brief yet let's call it illustrious solo career after the Cars.
Yes.
And I had forgotten about that song, and that was a nice reminder, and it would have been fun to play me in with something like that. But like I said, you know, you can't win them all.
Who's going to drive you home, Phil Leonis?
I don't know. Why do I feel awkward now, having been asked that question? I don't even know what that means. You know, it is a music show, though. Come on. Usually the selections are they're versatile and they're delightful. Mm-hmm. And especially, quite frankly, when the Ed Wellman is running the ship, it becomes... Really,
80s
2 hours of just cracker jack.
But then I get complaints from Sharon Grimson about my music. I remember that the first time when I listened to the Rick Astley album.
Listen, Phil, if you want to break into Baltimora and Tarzan Boy, you feel free to go, my boy. You just
I'm only human. No, I had a college roommate. I think I've told you this before. I had a college roommate for several years who that was his favorite song. Mm. So, no, that will not be something I will be playing again.
And he was Welsh, actually. No, or from Northern Ireland, actually, Baltimore. And he was Irish, actually. Baltimore was indeed Irish.
I think we should have an indie track on to finish the show.
I mentioned the Ed Wellman.
The Thunderbirds theme. He didn't like the Thunderbirds theme. You know? I mean, Amber's jump off the world, Cameron Tilbury selection. I can't believe he's been listening to the whole show. That's all I can say.
What do you mean? I just said that song was bad.
Ting-tings.
I've been enjoying many of the musical selections. Usually, look, that's why it's not really, Alice. It's just that I'm disappointed in you. I expect better. And I was led to expect better from everything that had led up to that musical selection on this particular show.
Alrighty. Well, you know.
Alright.
That's, you know, it's not a focus group, and this is why, as Jamie Anderson said, he understands now why his father said, for goodness sake, don't get involved with the business of show, it's full of horrid folk. Which is obviously not true, because you get horrid folk in every walk of life. It depends on your perspective. What have you made of the show, Phil? And what sort of comments would you like to refrain? Have you managed to check out, obviously, the work that Lily Holliman actually did, standing in for you last week, or indeed earlier, one of the co-producers of the Lady Killers, all online and all available for download, even as we speak. But anyway, Phil, it's your moment. Over to you. Where do you want to take us?
I heard two things, disturbed me, one that delighted me, and I had actually heard it many times before from you, but I never realized how much it delighted me until today. But first I'll start with what disturbed me, and that was Ed Wilma not knowing what reading meant. And so I thought I would take this time to explain to Ed that that reading means to look at and understand the meaning of letters, words, symbols that are used in conjunction with each other, often to form sentences or entire passages. That's what reading means.
And I am so grateful to you, my friend. For 40 years, nobody has ever assumed that they needed to tell
radio.
Me this.
No, you're in radio.
I suspect it's during his time as an MA Community Radio student, I thought, maybe, but, you know.
You should have.
But he doesn't need to. You know, quite frankly, with the talent that Ed displays on a weekly basis and the future he has in front of him, he's going to have people to do his reading for him.
Oh.
He doesn't really need to know. So he's what we call talent. Talent doesn't have to do any of that, the menial work for themselves.
Well,
and
I'm
nothing
speechless.
But silence.
I was simply thinking that what a perfect cue, obviously, for people when it's midnight in Los Angeles on a Thursday and it's heading into 2 a.m. on a Friday morning when you can actually hear these dulcet tones.
Good morning. I'm Liz Brewer, author of The Ultimate Guide to Party Planning and Etiquette. And you're listening to Ed and Jeff on the Siren FM Breakfast Show.
Yeah, every Friday. There we are.
And I think there's a
no,
a
Ian Mills, of course. He's booted off.
Show rather than a breakfast show. There's a slight. I like that.
Breakfast show.
Yeah.
We worked on that quite some time.
That's magical. You know what I found to be magical? And this is what I alluded to. Alex, you do this all the time, and I never realized how much it delights me. But whatever project anyone is talking about, in this case, it was the great Randy Reinholtz talking about his exciting Shakespeare-Tarantino Old West mashup. Whatever project anyone's talking about, you always hit them with some variation on the question, do you have any plans to turn it into ... something else?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
constant mutation.
You know, like, so in this case, they're just starting this elaborate undertaking of this play, and you're already asking any plans to turn it into a movie.
Exactly.
I talk about my movies, and you say any
stage
plans
show
to turn this into a webisode.
Exactly.
It's how you work. You're constantly trying to get a whole cottage industry built around every particular creative expression. See, you should be in the position of the great Lou Grade. I mean, you're the one that sees not only it's so crazy it just might work, but here's how we can transform it into an entertainment franchise across all the different mediums. That's what we're lacking in show business.
Strange you might say that. I had a good 45-minute telephonic conversation with the wondrous Arthur Weingarten in which various things were put together which might just be alluding to that in various ways. I just raised that. Yeah, a little tease ahead there. Marvellous. Anyway, I just think it's good that we're enjoying this thing called life. That's my official line on the whole thing. What else has been happening in Chilpack, Hollywood land?
Wait a minute. No, I'm not letting go of that one. Right. That's your official line. But as always, the truth lies in the unofficial line. So what's your unofficial line on the whole thing?
Unofficial line on life?
Well, you said we're all enjoying this thing called life. That's my official line.
Exactly. Yes.
But,
well, it's the line I'm taking officially as representative of the grand emperor that is Siren FM land to
right.
the globe.
Unofficially, you're counting down the minutes until my appearance is over.
No, we've got 1,800 seconds, Phil. We're okay. We're fine for that. Actually, it's 1,746 now, but never mind.
Chilpack Hollywood Hour, you referenced.
I'm not upset by the fact that he used to tag this show regularly. We always say, you know, the sort of various taglines that are actually in there. You get a mention quite, you know, usually once every 2 or 3 weeks. Have you mentioned that? Months have gone by now. Months.
Wow.
The LA.
Well, you know what? You were invited to come out and participate in our live show.
I was going to say, are we talking LAPD? Are we talking about the podcast event that brought Chilpack Hollywood live to the whole thing and which really was perfect but for one crucial factor, Ed? But for one crucial factor, Katie? That crucial factor was
You weren't in it.
Well, we weren't connected.
We weren't in it.
I didn't have any sign of any Midweek Drive or Midweek Drive Morning Edition podcast ever. It's amazing.
This is like therapy this week, isn't it? We're all saying all of the things, all that pent-up
let
stuff.
Let it go!
Let it go!
It's getting messy. I love it. It's like a holiday at home.
It all started when Katie couldn't get the plastic cup to separate to get her coffee fix. It was. That's what
you've been doing well. An hour and 45 minutes without.
I know.
You know what I was struck by is that when I heard Katie this morning, first up on the show, what I was struck by was in the now, what is it, Alex, a year and a half that I've been doing this show?
Just a
confident on-air personality the lovely Katie Grimason has become.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was only 12 hours ago she was saying, I'm thinking of quitting Siren. No!
No, I'm not going to quit Siren.
Really?
24 hours ago, so what, you know, I've just delivered sort of one of my ace genre and popular culture deliveries to finally your American Studies and American Studies and History students, and yeah, where do I go with this one, basically? Yes. But she's hopefully still with us.
Yes.
Well, she didn't mention to you that she had actually received an offer to become a full-time co-host on Chillpack Hollywood Hour.
There you go.
So that...
Well, it's okay. We could share. I mean, just say we're borrowing Ian Mills from The Breakfast Show. And Ian, I mean, you got a mention on the Friday sort of. Was that deliberate? You left Ian off that sort of jingle that we wrote for Liz Brewer, by the way? I mean, Ian, switch the radio off now if you're listening.
Ian is with you on a Friday now, I think, in another world. He's on his course on a Friday, I do.
In his MI course.
He's backed out of course. The Friday morning appearance.
So, yeah. Exactly. So it's not an admission of any. It is literally the Ed and Jeff breakfast show.
Indeed.
Yeah. I still like the Coney Zone, but never mind.
One day.
Exactly. I'm sorry, Phil. We're still time to go to your good self. 822 seconds and counting. Where do you want to actually take us now as far as the show has been concerned? Is it that park in Jersey that Anna Lewis has actually gone through with 12 Americans in search of the Poindexters of history? Is it Jamie Anderson's line about telefantasy and so on? Is it Michelle Monroe, Randy Reinholds? Or indeed is it Cameron Tilbury? Or simply looking at the Facebook updates to find out what culinary delights Nikki Wells and her family have actually been entertaining us with? Or is it, even more excitingly, those four words of which I have to say, even though she hasn't contributed to the show at all, strange enough, Penny Evans, when asked effectively to set a scene. In fact, Phil, set this competition to the listener now. What did you actually ask for in terms of people to contribute four words to which Penny said, not you again, Phil? You know, which I thought was the best entry ever in terms of that. What was this competition that had Penny Evans...
This is what radio has come to. We're just going to relay what people could look up on Facebook. Okay, good. I'm game for that. I just posted this thing that I had seen other friends post, which was a little competition. The scenario is that you and me, whoever you are, whoever's reading it, and me are handcuffed together in the back of a police car. We don't know the circumstances, that's it. We're just handcuffed together in the back of the police car. What are the four words you say to me? And that's the competition. Yeah. And, you know, there is no prize, so it's really more of an exhibition than a competition. Yeah. And that was it. And so apparently you liked Penny's response.
Not you again, Phil. Yeah. I actually, it was one of the few Penny Evans lines that actually made me smile. Sorry, Penny, but you know. Sometimes it's obviously
it
hysterical laughter.
Smile. It made me smile as well.
Exactly. And we know she's performing in Buxton shortly as well. If you want to actually enter a competition that effectively has a prize, tune in to No Adults Allowed in the next couple of days, or maybe even early next week, because we've got tickets for the Postman Pat event that's taking place at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Genuine tickets available for that. I know. Yeah. It's all right. I might get a press pass for you, Katie, to go along and check out Postman Pat.
I used to love Postman Pat.
And he's never stopped loving you, Katie.
And Jess.
And his black and white cat.
Jess the cat.
Exactly, yes. Obviously now he's been privatised, it's a different Royal Mail scenario, but still the life continues. I'm sorry,
well,
Phil.
You know what, I do want to talk about a couple of things on the show that I thought were quite lovely. One is just, when Randy was talking about his approach to this material and his feelings about, for example, violence and how his impulse is to tend to want to go towards humor. And it's certainly an impulse that I share as well. And I love that response, especially coming from, you know, a storyteller that he championed Quentin Tarantino on the one hand, and then said, on the other hand, that his preference is not for that kind of violence. But it doesn't mean that we can't have Tarantino's works. We can't have the works that are violent. It's just that I'm going to use that as my point of departure, and I'm going to do something different with that inspiration. And I just find that so healthy, because it really bothers me at a time when everybody seems to be bickering with each other about everything, that too often we as storytellers forget that, boy, we don't have to argue about the merits of someone else's work. If we want to see something different, then we should do something different. And I just find it to be so healthy and just really inspiring. And then the other thing that I wanted to touch on was just, you know, really how beautiful it was, you know, Gerry Anderson's son, Jamie, you know, really working so hard to protect not just the legacy, because this isn't about protecting the legacy. This is about protecting an as-yet unearthed contribution to that legacy that his father had made. And this conversation about how, you know, there aren't people like Lou Grade. There aren't these executives who can just quickly make a decision going. I mean, I'm always fond of the words that Lou Grade said about The Prisoner when The Prisoner was pitched to him. He said apparently something along the lines of, I have no idea what that's about. It just seems so crazy that it probably will work. Mm. And gone is that spirit of things. So as we spoke about on this week's Chilpack Hollywood Hour, there's this terror that is sweeping through film industry right now, where they're realizing from their data that the data, the marketing data, no longer means anything, if indeed it ever did. So now they're back to being completely blind, which means I think that you will see people having to trust just their gut instinct of what might be entertaining.
Yeah, and I think that sums up the thing in a whole heap of ways. And you know, Ed, do you think we've lost something in terms of this obsession we have with metrics and statistics and measuring things? I mean, the Star Trek series was cancelled incorrectly, it turned out, when they reanalyzed the whole thing. Do we become, you know, do producers working in the media become obsessed by figures and numbers?
I think they do, and I think that certainly, as community broadcasters, if we're talking to one person and we make one person happy, or we engage them in some sort of way, or educate them, or inform them of something, then job done. Well,
man, well,
I mean, I always think, you know, we understand with music, we understand. Well, I love, you know, this phrase, love at first sight. You know, we don't know what we're going to fall in love with until we see it. And so much of the entertainment industry is about trying to figure out in advance exactly what people are going to buy. The truth is the audience really won't tell you what they're going to fall in love with until they see it. And we know this from music. Mm. We there is no way to predict what type of song or what song is going to hit with an audience. They need to be able to connect with it first, and that's terrifying for people, of course, putting in a lot of money into these works. But that it actually is the beauty and the point of it.
Looking at the LSJ magazine, recent publication, you see, for the 2013-14 academic year, the series When Journalists Speak Out, under the direction of Alex Levchuk, goes under the new title LSJ Presents, to reflect the wider work of the school incorporating public relations. I'm actually handing this over to Katie to present to Ed, because you'll see on the page that's actually been marked in there a photograph of the aforementioned Ed Wellman, which now that he's actually sort of completed his final setup, etc., he can proudly display to his parents, family and friends and say, yes, that's me, that's what I thought about the course.
The thing that most forget while dreamily looking off into the horizon for the ship of their dreams is that such ships never sail in, but are actually built beneath their very feet. Oh, we owe the universe.
You see, given that Liz Brewer is doing a series called Meet the Russians, it really should have been, we won't go into the Volga Boat song yet. You'd be pleased to know, Phil, that Katie has made a selection for the last musical choice of the show today. But we've still got 3 minutes before we actually go to that. So, Ed, have you got any questions or interrogatives that you'd like to actually throw to Phil? Or are you so taken with the beauty of your photograph and the connection from that that finally you think, this is it?
Phil, we haven't talked about the Lady Killers yet, have we?
Nice point.
So give us a quick update on that for us.
Well, I have been pulled away on other projects. I've only been able to edit the first reel of the film, which is about 10 minutes long. But I did do some exciting work with a composer this week who's starting to temp out the plans for a fully orchestrated overture to the film. And we're really throwing back stylistically to some films of the 1960s, caper films of the 1960s, dark comedies of the 1960s, and I think it's going to be reflected in the music in a quite delightful fashion. So I'm excited about that. Hopefully we will be starting to keep people updated with where we are in the process at our website, theladykillersmovie.com. But of course, feel free to ask me each and every week on the Midweek Drive, because gosh knows I love talking about my own work.
Exactly. It's like being tagged and all the rest of its business. Do you know who's joining us on the show at 6:05 next week, Phil?
Ringo Starr.
We may or may not all be Cylons, but the undisputed truth is that we're all delighted to share the perspectives of ace New York director...
Yes, she is back with us. We may or may not all be Cylons, but yes, after far too long, a sort of little your warm-up act in many ways, Phil. There we are. Just can't convince she's joining us. And...
Did we say who she was?
No.
No, you did not. I'm waiting for that. That's a good point.
No.
Okay.
You just
checking.
You know, it's for the completists, it's for the fans.
We may or may not all be Cylons, but the undisputed truth is that we're all delighted to share the perspectives of ace New York director...
Yeah, you see. That's it. And Lisa McAllister's back with us. Yeah, we're, so there we are. That wasn't referring to Lisa McAllister, of course. We're talking about superduce Lisa McAllister.
This pressing of buttons is going to end in tears, but you know that.
No.
Yes, it is.
No. You've got to have faith, as George Michael once said. And that's an 80s tune. So thank you to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Jamie Anderson, Michelle Monroe, Randy Reinholtz, Natalie Tuck. Happy birthday, Natalie. Phil hasn't said happy birthday to Natalie. And of course Phil Leonis. And Phil, would you like to actually hear Katie's musical choice that's actually lined up to take us out of the show today?
I would love to, and again, a belated happy birthday, Katie.
Thank you, Phil.
Not to Natalie. It's for the tension now. It's all right. It's, the love is shared, because as most Buddhists will say, we are all one. Have you enjoyed the show, Katie?
Yeah, it's been fun.
You enjoyed the show, Ed?
So much. I'll come back in the morning, I
better
think.
Than a triple latte, I feel. Yes, we're back again, 8 a.m. in the morning, doing all sorts of magical things. Minty's back with the dogs and the canines and, oh, Lord, above, where do we end? And, of course, we're countryside living as well, close to countryside living. But very quickly, the band is actually starting up now. Wyatt, have you actually gone for Katie to actually share with our Atlantic cousins, etc.?
It's I Can Talk by Two Door Cinema Club.
What perfect choice, you know, Two Door Cinema Club. I Can Talk, you can. Phil Leonis, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat?
Yes, are you planning to turn this episode into a movie?
You know, I'm thinking an audio play. Kind of an audio play without the music. That's what we're working. Audio book first, then kind of a narrative from there. Are you coming back again next week?
Of course.
There we are, Phil Leonis will return. Katie Grimerson will return, and Ed Wellman, and you as well, dear listener. Stay tuned, Siren 107.3 coming up. I've already crashed the vocals. What the hey? News coming to the Sky News Centre here at the Two Door Cinema Club. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.